Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to address this question I get a lot of the time from actors, and that is, how do we know when we're doing good work? How do we know? I'll explain. You know, I received a nice email from a fellow named Michael, and what he was after was trying to figure out the critique that he had received from an audition. And in his note to me, he said that this is what the panel told him. So then he gave me the critique. And before I address the critique, I wanted to know who these people were that said it. Now, there was a number of reasons why I wanted to know that, but the first one was real simple for me. It's, I'll read it to you. It wrote character. So I assume that this panel was telling Michael, they were addressing the character. So that made it very simple. Character. They didn't say that he was playing a policeman or your role is the policeman. No, it makes sense. You'd say character. Certainly he knew what they were talking about. And here's what it was. You've really formed a great foundation for this character. Now what? How can you make them even more unique? Challenge yourself by creating original quirks, gestures, posture, and general physical traits that enrich the character you've created. So that was the assessment, and then Michael sent me the question. My question is, how can I give more without sacrificing believability? Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there for me, so I answered back, I can answer that no problem, but can I see the audition tape? And then he sent me the audition tape. Now, once I watched his tape, I wanted to know who gave him the feedback and what their qualifications were. So I come to find out that this is something called SceneBot Review Team. And apparently they critique tape that you can send into them, auditions, whatever they are. I don't know if we'd call them an audition because I don't think you're auditioning for anything. Although you do get in the top 50 or the top 10. And, you know, before I get to my assessment of just that thing I just read to you and about this particular business, let me get back to then what I told him. In fact, I'll read it to you. It's sitting right here. Michael, the feedback they gave you was generic bullshit. It's nothing. It's like saying be better or be more interesting. What they said means nothing. Stop wasting your money and time. Then I said, here's the issue. You need proper training. Here's how I know. Because what you're doing is not believable at all. Here's a simple test. When you show that tape to someone who doesn't know you, they should need to wonder if what they're seeing isn't, in fact, a real cop asking real questions. That is the only criteria. Is it believable? Not acting believable, but actually believable. And I went on to write, beyond that, I can't say much else because I've never met you in real life, so I don't know if you are this sleepy and sedate when you speak. That is the brunt of it. Then I gave him some advice after that, which basically just said, you just need to get some proper training, and that's going to be kind of hard to find because particularly if you are in secondary markets, you know, if you're not in the main cities, you know, this stuff becomes more and more rare, like hen's teeth, to try and find a good place that's going to keep you from looking like you're acting, you see. And this is kind of a part of what I'm talking about today, and that is, as I keep saying in these podcasts, you are going to acting classes, basically learn how to act. And are you thinking, well, yeah, that's what's called an acting class. Yeah, I know. I know the problem is, of course, that you're being taught to act, and acting always looks a little false. they're not really teaching you how to be authentic. They're teaching you how to act so that you can fake authenticity, so that you can look like you're authentic. Now, if you hold your mouth just right and you nod just right, you know, and you have the right intonation, yeah, we'll believe you. You see, I'm going to keep coming back to my fundamental problem with this industry and the way it works is that you're basically being taught to act. And so what does that mean? Well, like I just said here in this note to Michael, if you showed someone that tape, they should think that they were watching, if they didn't know Michael, so they didn't know it was Michael in the tape, then obviously, you know, there's no way you can fool anyone. But if you took the tape and this person never seen Michael, had no idea of Michael, and you said, what is this right here? The first response we want is for them to say, well, it looks like a policeman asking questions from somebody off camera here, I guess. I don't know. I'm confused. You know. And then finally, maybe, is this an acting scene? You know, that's kind of how it should fall. Now, I know some of you are saying, what are you going to do, though? The sound is bad. There's a kind of a sheet hanging up behind Michael, and part of it has come undone, so it's kind of, you know, it draws your attention to the slightly slipshodness of it. But, hey, if I took a real policeman and I walked him up, or a detective, whatever this fellow is, but he's asking official questions of the person off camera. If I said, hey, just stand there and, you know, ask this person the questions. I'm filming it. I'm not filming it. The camera's off. It's being shot through, you know, a two-way mirror, whatever. You know, whatever the deal is. It should be that believable, right? The person should say, well, how did you capture this footage? It looks like they're in an audition room, but did that cop come in to ask some real questions? You know, now, does that seem too extreme to believe that? No, of course not. For the reasons I just mentioned, if I actually walked a real detective in and was asking questions, let's say of the reader, let's say of the camera person, let's say of the person sitting behind the reader and unbeknown to the director and to anyone really, because everybody was so taken off guard, let's say they forgot to turn the camera off and the detective never moved from his or her position and asked these questions. Do you get my point? Ultimately, while maybe slightly harder to convince people of because of the background image and the filming of it, let's say, there's no reason that the authenticity in the actor working that moment shouldn't be to the point that we're confused a bit. Now, does that seem like a high bar? No, why would it be? Real detectives and police officers pull it off all day long. They're completely authentic. You put them in front of a poster of, you know, Minnie Mouse. It's not going to make a difference. Believability is believability. There can't be a acting believability. Because that's bullshit. It's like saying a lying believability. Like in the context of lying, that's pretty believable. No, we either believe it or we don't. So, this question that Michael had, because I knew he was confused, right? He couldn't see what was going on in that tape. Now, granted, it is difficult at times, and I'd say probably most of the time, to assess our own work. You know, maybe it doesn't make us cringe. Maybe we say something cool and, you know, we look good and it's like, yeah, that's you know. But the ultimate test is like, well, you know, I was there and I know that I'm not this guy. I'm the actor. I wonder what somebody who's never met me or seen me, what would they think? You know, I mean, it is hard to be objective. But ultimately, the litmus test is it should seem completely authentic. And I'm going to keep saying, but not acting authentic. Because you see, this is the main problem acting classes have. When you're in the environment of these acting classes where everyone's acting and they're doing their acting work and they're bringing in their acting exercises and all the beats and everything I keep talking about, See, the problem in acting classes is that it's just this culture of acting. So, you know, you have people in class that get face-to-face and scream at each other's eyes bugged out, you know. Their noses are just, you know, almost touching. And all I keep asking, have you ever fronted off with someone where your nose was 3 inches away and you were screaming at the top of your lungs? I mean, really? Man, I've lived a long time, and I don't think in real life I've ever witnessed that. Now, you know, I've never played on organized sports teams or men's groups where maybe, you know, a lot of testosterone is in a room and then they get all riled up. I don't know. You can answer. For all of you listening, do you see that a lot? Does that happen actually? Because I know that when I front it off with someone, I don't get that close. At least the other person think fists are about to fly and maybe try and jump that moment and let their fist fly first. So I don't put myself in that position. I don't have my, you know, testicles vulnerable there, you know, a foot away from a guy that I am screaming at. You know, who knows what this person might do? And I value most parts of my body, actually. Let me think. All. So, you know, I don't put myself in harm's way like that, you know, because quite honestly, I don't have the luxury of having a script for my life so that I can read ahead and go, no, he doesn't knee me in the testicles. So, and he doesn't gouge my eyes out with the fork he has in his hand. So cool. I'll go ahead and yell at him face to face because you can see here clearly we do not fight. I leave and get in my car. Yeah. Okay, good. So I'll just go ahead and do this because it'll be so dramatic. And a lot of actors, you know, when they get angry, they just love to just blow their voice out. I mean, some people have loud, loud voices, and boy, they use it. I always ask them if that's how they yell at people in life, you know, honestly. How often do you scream that loud? We do. I have. But you see, I'm just offering an idea that there is a different reality in acting classes. And I keep saying it over and over again. When I watch mine, I don't give a shit about acting. It bores me to death. I feel like, you know, I'm a smart guy, and then you're making faces over there pretending shit, and I'm smarter than that. That's it. That's my criteria, you see? Like pausing. I call actors that pause a lot, pauseologists. You just pause. Every moment's a pause. And that's kind of a thing, the culture in acting classes is you're supposed to get it that way, right? You talk, I wait, I let it soak in, go deep, deep, deep. I get it. Now I can respond in a way that is so steeped in what you just said. So we have this like ultimate deep honesty with our give and take. Just shut up, man. How could you ever have a friend? Who the hell would want to hang out with you? You are the slowest responder in the world. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You wouldn't have any friends. First of all, you would never get to speak because every time you took a pause, one of your friends would jump in and take over and bring some life back to the situation. Okay, before any of you freak out, do we pause? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. We pause for dramatic effect once in a while. We pause because there's nothing to say, and that is part of what we're doing. But generally, by and large, oh no, we don't pause at all. In fact, we barely give people a chance to finish because most of us just listen to respond, not listen to understand. Most of us aren't, in fact, Gandhi. And even though we should lean more in that direction, no, most of us just listen to respond. That's why you keep getting, can I finish? Can I finish, please? Can I finish what I'm saying before you cut me off? That's usually how life works, you see. Because wit is based on speed. And so if we're witty, you've got to, you know, come in quickly. If you have the right answer, everybody wants to answer. That's how it works. And when we're in arguments, we want to put the fire out as quickly as possible. I want you to understand as quickly as possible. That's not what I did. Therefore, you're wrong in being angry at me. You know, if we're in discussions with people, coming in quickly, shows that there's, we bring enthusiasm to the topic and to our discussion. This is how it works. Yet in these acting classes, in these culture of acting classes, we stare into each other's eyes and we meaningfully say something. We can't allow an acting authenticity. There just can't be one. And unfortunately, it's very difficult, It's almost like if there's a lot of red in a room and then you have on some red-tinted glasses. Have any of you ever done this? You put it on, the red turns to white. Whatever color you put on that's tinted, that color will go away. Because that's kind of what it's like, We're in an acting class, and so we don't really notice the acting. Now, look, I know I say a lot of the same things, but truly, there's only so much to learn about acting and how you execute it most efficiently. What I do, and it's been my job my whole life as a teacher, is to say the same 12 or 20 things over and over again in different ways at different moments. Because truth is, there were, things I heard when I first started working, and it seems that as I get older and hopefully a little wiser, those things have a deeper and deeper meaning to me. I remember the first time I heard my teacher say, "Jeff, you got to stop trying to act natural." What's she talking about? It doesn't make any sense. I'm not trying to act natural. I'm trying to, do the scene, lady. And I realized later, no, that's what I was doing. And that's what actors do, They don't know that's what they're doing. But the way that it manifests is everything becomes a little more sedate. It becomes a little, I call it in a narrow band. If you're just going along, here's the narrow band. There's no spikes up. There's no drops down. It's just in this narrow kind of beige band, because we don't want to make a misstep. So we just kind of tighten up a little bit, focus, stare ahead, meter out what we're saying, try and be loose, not too aware of our hands, and just talk this stuff out in a very natural, don't put too much of a spin, don't put too little of a spin. Let's just find a way that I can sit here and speak with you, and none of it will be to this or to that. Let's just keep it safe and straight there in that little beige band wave. As soon as the scene's over, these people are like unbelievable. They go off there so animated and interesting, and it's like a shiny object all of a sudden. But when they work, they're slightly on quaaludes, just a little bit. It's kind of going along. Let's not disrupt the water. Let's not cause any waves. Because for many reasons, sometimes it's just nervousness. Other times it's because actors have so many things they're thinking about. All that stupid shit stuff that they still teach, where you got all your beats and all that stuff, that you're sitting there just kind of having that hovering, in your mind somewhere while you're trying to talk and put in the stuff you're supposed to do and your little switches and opposites or whatever it is you're presently puppeteering yourself with. And that kind of keeps you in this zone where you're more controlled, And even when you try and look like you're out of control, it looks like a controlled out of control. It doesn't seem like the out of control that we feel in life. I want to keep hitting you with this idea that is, you've got to stop looking at acting through acting spectacles, tinted with an acting tint. I am never going to lose my eye for authenticity. That's it. That's all I have in class. That's all I use. I don't give a shit about acting. When I see people act, I think it's just the dumbest, most boring thing I could see. It's like, okay, great. What is that again? This is like what, a song you're singing? This is a rendition of what it could be if it were, but never was, and probably never ever will. But you're giving me like what it could kind of be if I was watching real people. This is like what is interesting about that? So at the same time, I know none of this has any consequence because it's all fake. It's all phony. No one's going to die. There's no bullets in that gun. This is bullshit. I can see you're lying and you're faking crying. So what is it? Is it the idea of what you're doing? Is that what's supposed to move me? I'm supposed to think, wow, if this really happened, boy, that would be sad ass. Is that what's supposed to happen? If we frame everything as actors with acting thoughts and we create acted situations, we forever will be struggling to try and figure out a way to make it look like what we're doing isn't what we're doing. In a best case scenario, what you hope for is that we won't notice this is all bullshit. I think that if we can do this 21st century idea of, look, I'm going to just make my character's problems suddenly mine. I'm going to make my character's concerns suddenly mine. And I'm not going to have to make lists to figure out how I can own that shit. I'm just going to own it. Like I own anything I decide is suddenly my problem. We do this all day long, folks. Someone, a friend's problem is immediately shouldered as ours, and we want to go talk to their landlord, their ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, you know, the guy at the corner who, you know, cheated them, or the person that slighted them, or we listen to it, and it's like, yeah, okay, you know what, I'll go talk to the guy for you. What did we just do? I just took on that problem, you see? Any issue, any world problem, any political thing you hear today, you suddenly say, oh man, I'd love to chat with that guy. Give him a piece of mind. You just own that problem, you see? So there's two ways we look at it. You either look at it like, I'm going to figure out a way so that my intonation and my activities and my little action verb choices and my little opposites will hopefully at the end of it make it seem like I am indeed the guy that I am pretending to be, or I can do this other slick thing, you see, where what I do is I do the very mature thing of saying, okay, what is your problem, sir? Okay, I'm going to make that my problem. And what's the parameter here? What's going on? Who's that person? Uh-huh. And who's that person? Right. And let me get this straight. The idea is that you can't have this guy doing that anymore next door to your business because you're losing business and he has no right to do it anyway. You know for a fact he doesn't have a license to do that. So you're going to go to the, okay, I got that. Yeah, that makes sense. I see the right and wrong in that. Okay, good. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm really going to just kind of walk into the situation, argue it like the first person. I'm going to dispel any idea that, you know, I'm going to figure out a way to make it sound and look so maybe people watching might believe. Oh, come on. What is the Kool-Aid that you drank that made you believe, oh, no, I have to go this way. You've got to do the beats. And you have to have 6 per page. So you have the right tempo. I mean, I've been at it 37 years, right? Teaching. Now, granted, and you've heard me mention this, it hasn't been until very recently that I've actually been able to reach what could be a world audience, because I do get notes from people around the world who happen upon this podcast. But now that I'm reaching more people and hearing from more people, it just, because I hear the same story coming from all parts of the world. It doesn't matter where it is. I hear the same types of shenanigans going on. You know, from Paris. Oh, you wouldn't believe what my teacher's trying to make us do. Duh, duh, duh. And they go on to all this nonsense that everyone is hoodwinked into doing. Now, look, there's got to be a method to this madness, certainly. Because a person that takes ownership of something, of a problem in life, understands the given circumstance, what's going on, you know, what their need is, what the conflict is, why the other person probably doesn't want to give them the thing. There are things we need to know. But the way that actors feel they need to meter their performances, and they think that the more metering, the better, because you see, then you have a multi-layered cake of just like amazing acting that is like, oh my goodness, it's like some kind of an artistic onion, and you just keep peeling it away, and there's just one thing after another of splendiferous. I'm positive those types of people don't work much. I can say positive because I've always paid attention when I've come across those types of people in my life. Because I've all my life, you know, been doing these tests and findings and paying attention creating this, finding the best way to get the most out of your swing, if you will. That's been my life's ambition, is to figure out what seems to be the most effective way for actors to get. And then, of course, I have my weekly laboratory where I get to work with actors and continue to do this stuff and then be in the business and see how it all shakes down and what all the other people on set are doing, what everyone else is talking about. So I've paid, you know, rapt attention. And that's what all this is based on, of course. And, you know, all I ever hope to get you with is my logic. It's just I'm hoping you'll hear me, you know, and I know that people do. And I even hear from those people who will say, then why isn't everyone doing this? Why do people, because that, you see, at the end of the day, what makes them even think about bucking this idea, even though it may be striking chord with them, they may be thinking, but it can't be this, it's got to be the, why of, you know, tradition, I don't know, laziness, for sure, laziness. Laziness, because, you know, it's not easy to get actors to with speaking, you know, get them to see things and then do this tricky little slippery thing of dropping in and creating these authentic moments. It's tricky to use language. You know, I can't move their body into a form. You know, it's just language. And I say laziness because all these acting coaches do is go on and parrot what other people have said. As if an acting is an invention, this is invented by those people, and that this is the, in the kind of a book you get with it, the owner's manual. Well, let's see here. Okay, page 2, beats. All right, let's work on our beats, you know. This is some shit some people made up once. At a time when the world was completely different, everything was completely different. What we were looking for was completely different. I'm constantly trying to figure out this nut that I'm trying to crack to get to people to see how I can convince them of this simpler, more effective, straight to it way of working. And I know that part of the resistance, aside from what I've just mentioned, the tradition, everything else, is that I think that actors, they feel safer or perhaps more confident if they can map everything out, you see, and if they do all of the work, because that's tangible. It's scary to just say, look, I'm going to give you the information, go. This is the information, you own it, here's the objective, this is what you need, get in there, win, do your thing, do it. That takes a lot. That takes a lot of courage in some ways. It's the same courage everyone uses every day in life, I would point out immediately. But when it comes to getting up in front of a class or, you know, getting on the stage or on a set and just kind of doing it, that seems to ask too much. But you see, if I can go through and I can figure out how I'm going to do everything, and if I can break it into beats and I can see where things are going to change, and if I can know what my action verb is, and if I can know all this stuff, I don't have the fear of having to be an artist who now has to trust to a large degree my own instincts. The ones, mind you, that I've been honing my entire life. The same instincts and sensibilities that I go into battle in, every day in life with. Ooh, I don't want to, what if it's wrong? So I'd rather kind of map it all out, you see. And if I do homework, then I feel more like, yeah, no, this, see, I'm an actor, and there's my work. Look how many pages. That's on both sides, single-spaced. I did all of that. Yeah, my way of working is definitely a little more courageous. And it asks the actor to now develop their on-the-spot instincts. it asks the actor to trust themselves the same way they do in life to carry on and get through situations, just with the given circumstance and the knowledge they have of what's going on. In life, we're not so afraid to make the mistake. We don't go into situations and think, I hope I'm believable. Because if you did, then you would fall within that beige band. You would, of course. Because you'd be pulling back. You'd be censoring. You'd be doubting. You'd be questioning. You'd be looking at the way you were standing. You would want to go sit because you're uncomfortable. You certainly wouldn't be the sparkly, interesting object that you are when you're not thinking, when you're not worrying about those things, when you are trusting yourself in life to go in and just do your thing and make your points. I would have to say there's way more snap, crackle, pop in your personality, and I think that's probably why you have so many friends. And I don't mean Facebook friends. I mean actual friends. This is what I want to bring to acting. I need to figure out a way to get the actor so unencumbered with pre-thought, pre-made, pre-agreed-upon ideas, concepts, moments. Just think about it. That's all you're doing. And I see it all the time, man. You got all this like double clutching you're doing where in the class you're showing me, oh, this, but now that, but now this, in just a millisecond. See me go through those moments? Yeah, I saw it. And in life, I would think you were some actor doing some bullshit for some reason in my home. I don't know why. Or you're some weirdo, fake-o, phony person. How do we know when our acting is good? When it has nothing to do with acting. When the first thing I notice is whatever the problem is, whatever the calamity is, whatever the conflict is, whatever the situation is. When that's the first thing I notice, when the first words that strike me are the questions or the argument or whatever it is you're saying, and I am suddenly not noticing that I'm necessarily watching a scene. Like I've said many times, that's what we consider to be great acting, when we forget we're watching a film, when we forget we're watching a play, when we just get caught up in the thing. That is our goal. So, would you rather just go ahead and figure out a way to let yourself organically and authentically get caught up in the thing, your own problem, and do it? Or do you think it's wiser to work it all out, plan it all out, have where you go up and down and everything else, and hope that we don't notice? What do you think? Do we hang on to these old concepts that just have been around now for so long and they've just been beaten to death with this bullshit nonsense? Or do we maybe, you know, think of perhaps a more efficient, more authentic, honest, respectable way to sit in a situation and argue in the first person about something? I mean, really, how dare you, right, take on the problem of some tragic character in a show and then think that by making faces and modulating your voice, you will more perhaps, you will do more justice to this person's particular story. Geez, do you think that maybe you could just make a choice to just make it your own for a moment and argue it and really try and put yourself there and deal with it and make it as important to yourself as that person did to themselves? You only need to do it between action and cut. It's not like I'm saying change your life. I'm just saying, hey, how about in between those two? You stop with all the acting bullshit. How about that? How about you put down your little acting books and your little notebooks and your little things that you have and your oolong tea you drink and the, you know, deep knee bends that you do to get ready for your acting bullshit? How about if you forget all that stuff and you actually just find a way of working where you can understand what's happening in something, and then for a moment in time, just make it your own problem, but not by making lists and all this bullshit acting work. You know, this company, I went and looked it up, Scenebot. And it looks fairly benign, quite honestly. From what I get, you spend $20 a year. And they give you these things, and apparently, you know, you can also have access to, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, it's not even important. $20 for a whole year. I mean, if you know, you got $20, and there's anything in there you can get out of it a whole year. The only problem I have is this assessment. You see, because that little thing that I read you at the top, well, you know, I could virtually send that to anyone under the sun. You could have handed in one of the best performances of your life, and I could press the button that makes that thing spit out. Or you could do one that isn't the best, and it would still work, right? Because I've said you've really formed a great foundation for this character. That could be an Oscar-nominated rendition right then. I could say, now what? How can you even make it more unique? I'm sure any great performance you've ever seen, any actor, if you ask Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm sure he could say, well, yeah, I don't know, who knows? I do and take another shot at it. Maybe I could even make it better. But, right? It's life. Things can change. In another day, in a moment, you can perhaps even hit a moment somebody as great as he is better. It says challenge yourself by creating original quirks. Well, yeah, I guess. Although this, when I hear quirks, gestures, posture, you know, this is that acting shit. You know, I remember hearing one coach say, you know, you're not a real actor unless you have 100 character walks. There's another person I'd like to throw into the sun. 100? Okay, limp this one, limp that foot. Okay, what is it you're talking about even? What is this bullshit? How about if we just have our little limp or whatever walk on a case-by-case basis, right? I don't need to have them ready. It's like, you know, all actors think you got to have a monologue ready. Okay, maybe, except that, you know, I don't think I've ever been asked to do a monologue in my entire life. And certainly not a Shakespearean one. I know some of you do get asked that, but I'm just saying, you know, there are things. Like when I was a kid, I thought quicksand was going to be a big deal. And I never ran into it. I think there are things you think are going to happen, and then they don't. So, but the point is, this kind of critique is something, I don't even need to see your work to give you this. I just watched it because I wanted to be very clear on this before I discussed it. But this is just something I could spit it all day long. You know, if I just got them, I could go bing, 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 bing. And you go, oh, wow, okay, now what do I do? That's cool. At least they didn't say I sucked. How do you know if you're doing good work? You know you're doing good work when it doesn't look anything like acting, when it holds people's interest, when they are more interested in what you're talking about than they are your acting, when they're more interested in what's happening in the scene than they are a couple of actors acting. And it's hard to take off those actor-tinted glasses that make acting kind of invisible in class because everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone's crying super hard. Actors never stop to think, is this how it really goes down? Have I ever seen this? So how do you know if you're doing good work? Well, when you are as close to caring about the same things a person, an actual person that would be in the scene that you're portraying, when you get as close to simply caring about those things as you can, and you care about those things more than getting a scene right or not making a mistake or you know, getting your acting right. That's when for yourself you can know. And people, if you're watching acting, it's just that simple. I don't think you get there by, you know, bullshit acting, nonsense bullshit that you think you're going to do and puppeteer yourself into it. I think you just play cop and mean it between action and cut. That's what I think. I think you ask questions and you want actual answers. And I think you use every single instinct you'd have in real life to determine what was going on, how it was all happening. And it would have nothing at all to do with acting. Nothing. That's what I think. That's what I think you need to do, folks. Now, you know what? I'm doing these podcasts every week. I'm just going to keep coming at you, and I'm hoping that some of this information is going to turn on a few light bulbs here and there, and shed a little more proper light on the matter. But I definitely want to win my case. It serves us no good to approach our scenes like actors, breaking everything down into acting, acting jargon, acting bullshit, acting sleight of hand. Jesus, have some dignity, man. Let's just take this stuff on like it's actually happening and argue in the first person. Stop with this acting bullshit middleman stuff. I go and I conjure it all over here, and then I step in the costume, and hopefully you can't tell I'm a fake-ass person. We need to cut out that middleman. All right, folks, thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please remember to follow us on Podomatic or subscribe on iTunes. If you want to know anything else about the Real Life Actor approach, you can always go to reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.